tonight the reading of God's word from the first letter of John in the fourth chapter at the 13th verse. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. It was in 2012 that the first ever World Happiness Report was compiled. It was by Columbia University's Earth Institute. Their task was to review the state of happiness throughout the whole world and show how the science of happiness explains personal and national variations of happiness. And the nations were ranked. First place went to Denmark, then Norway, Finland, Netherlands. We didn't make the top 10. But not to be outdone, Berkeley University came up with a Science of Happiness report just now. In fact, the whole department they have. It's called the Greater Good Science Center. And this time, Costa Rica came in first, followed by Croatia, Chile, Malaysia, and Colombia. It seems that they were the least lonely, thus suggesting strong social ties. Sweden finally came in number 8, and Denmark made 10th, and we didn't make it again. But we did make 11 in the category of flourishing, which includes self-esteem, meaning, purpose, and optimism. That sounds like us. You know, so therefore we have Time Magazine's 100 most influential people, such as the pioneers Misty Copeland and Reese Witherspoon, artists Bradley Cooper and Tim McGraw, icons, Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Pope Francis, leaders, Jorge Ramos and Angela Merkel, and concluding with titans, Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. I rather liked Amanda Chan's report in the Huffington Post, where she discovered that going to church was linked to a better mood in folks, and Sunday ranks the highest day among folks for positive emotions. That they go to church, you see, except when the Tigers and Lions or Red Wings lose. Dale Carnegie started the selfie trend many years ago. He said, happiness doesn't depend on who you are or what you have. It depends upon what you think. Then there came Norman Vincent Peale with his great success illustrating sermons with happy people who triumphed over adversity, positive thinking. His student, famous and late Bob Schuller of Hour of Power and Glass Cathedral fame, preached a gospel which he defined as the human hunger for divine dignity that God intended to be our emotional birthright, aka possibility thinking. And he asserted that people who do not love themselves certainly cannot believe in God. And so thus self-esteem became RC, religiously correct. I'm told there's a church in Warren that preaches this gospel of empowerment. Sin is not living up to your potential. So don't chasten sinners. It makes them feel worse about themselves. One church member, I remember, chided me, you talk about Jesus too much. I much prefer Reinhold Niebuhr's thoughts. Nothing that is worth doing can be achieved in our lifetime. Therefore, we must be saved by hope. Nothing which is true, beautiful, or good makes complete sense in an immediate context of history. Therefore, we must be saved by faith. Nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone. Therefore, we must be saved by love. No virtuous act is quite as virtuous from the standpoint of our friend or foe as it is from our standpoint. Therefore, we must be saved by the final form of love, which is forgiveness. Happiness is. Search Institute, which is run by our Lutheran friends, surveyed 8,000 church young people and 10,000 church parents. And they asked them to indicate the important 24 values of life. For youth, number one was to have a happy life, followed by doing well in school and have friends they could count on. The parents' greatest concern was their children's happiness. And yet, Dr. Armand Nicoli reported in the American Journal of Psychiatry, 65% of the students I have interviewed complained their parents provided no spiritual precepts to embrace or reject. They were reared in a moral and spiritual void, seeking happiness. When I used to have a problem, my mom and dad had an answer for it. It's all in your head. It turns out they were right. The number one bestseller is about the teenage brain by the head of neuropsychiatry at the University of Pennsylvania. So now all the kids have to say to you, it's my frontal lobe's fault. It doesn't get connected to my mid-20s. The psalmist has described two types of persons, righteous and wicked. Righteous do not take the path of sinners or join the company of the insolent. They become productive, predictable, fruitful. The wicked are unstable, insecure, open to whims, kind of like the Red Bull's extremists. The psalmist tells us the way of the righteous God knows. The way of the wicked is on its own, and it's headed for chaos, or in Old Testament terms, the pit. Life is real. Life is earnest, wrote Longfellow. Our days will know hardness and harshness, fear and failing, sin and sorrow, sickness and death. For Jesus said it plainly, in the world you will have tribulation. But then he said, I have overcome the world. Jesus tells the disciples there are four blessings for the poor, the hungry, the sorrowful, the persecuted. And these four woes are pronounced on those whose lives are the opposite of that. The arrival of the kingdom will be marked by a reversal of fortunes, where Jesus says, the reign has come. Picture a world where each person makes a difference. Everyone knows life is better because of the gifts that they bring. Picture a world where every unblessed child has a beaming parent telling people, this child is a joy since he or she was born. Picture a world where every abused spouse or child experiences only gentle touches, kind words, where every poor soul who craved the addictive, was slave to the destructive, was set free. Picture yourselves, tomorrow morning, just wanting to do what is right when you get up. So joyful to do so, you just can't wait to go do more. You can go to bed at night with no regrets, no second thoughts. Where no one has misunderstood you. No one has been offended by you. Friends, it's a picture that's possible. Niebuhr said, the impossible possibility. We would see Jesus. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, the servant will be. And my Father will honor the one who serves me. Yet, we find ourselves today possessed by time. This thing is supposed to tell me all kinds of things. It didn't cost $350. Time. Is he ever going to end the sermon? We want to squeeze God into our Samsung, iPhone, iPad. Compress the integrity of God into the present of our lives. Now, God, this is how I want it to be today. Did you get that? Each day we want to know, God, what have you done for me? Or as one lawyer commented to me one time, I don't have time to waste on worship. My friends, believe this. There is a God who makes wrong right. There is a God who still gives truth power over lies. There is a God who gives power to the faint-hearted. There is a God who takes what the world means for evil and transposes it into good. There is a God who makes a table before us in the presence of our enemies. For God's power defends us. Faithfulness abides with us. Holiness washes us. Justice justifies us. Kindness keeps us. Mercy holds us. Truth marches on with us. Here, right now, wounded souls can find rest. Troubled spirits can pray. Here, created and creator meet on what we call holy ground. hear the broken, the bleeding, can touch the hem of his garment. You see, it is not by our bootstraps we're pulled up. It is not thinking positively that enables us to enter the kingdom of God. And we're not getting better and better every day, every way. Father McElquist asserted, all injustices, bitterness, humiliation, states, bullying, despair, are not a lack of self-esteem, but a hunger for the love of God. And there was one who came and showed us. Love is a bridge. There is a love that places others before self, that admits the need for standing before the goodness of God as sinners. But we can't put enough love into the hearts of sinners. But you see, God has given us his Son, and together we can feed this world's hunger for love. You feel that touching your life? Settle down. Listen, you're on holy ground. You're before the presence of a holy, loving, forgiving, almighty God. Happiness? Happiness is to be a follower of the way, commissioned to announce the good news that sin and death are very real, but the tomb is empty. They're defeated. So we rejoice. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Jesus promised us, I am with you always to the end of the age. And it is so.